From Discourse Auckland, it's the weekly show distributed by Discourse. I'm Dylan Reeve, and I'm coming to you today to say something I've never had to say on our program. Last week, we broadcast a story we've come to believe is not true. It's a story that got a lot of attention. More people downloaded it than any episode we've ever done last week. This is Morgan Nichols' story about visiting China. He's been performing this story in his lounge as a monologue since 2002. We didn't commission this story, we didn't send him to China. We excerpted his crazy rant that he's been telling in his lounge for years. We did fact-check the story we put on the radio, but in fact-checking, our main concern was whether things Morgan says about taxis and aeroplanes were true. That stuff is true. China has taxis and aeroplanes. But what's not true is what Morgan said about his own trip to China. As best as we can tell, Morgan's monologue, in reality, is just things he totally made up, which he then pretends that he witnessed firsthand. He pretends that he just stumbled upon an array of workers who typify all kinds of harsh things that somebody might imagine about China. And the most powerful and memorable moments in the story all seem to be fabricated. At the time we were fact-checking his story, we asked Morgan for the contact information for the interpreter he used when he was visiting China, who he calls Gladys Knight in his monologue. We wanted to talk to her to confirm that the incidents he described all happened as he describes them. And when we asked for her information, he told us that her real name wasn't Gladys Knight. It was Admiral Adama, and he had a cell phone number for her, but said when he tried it, it didn't work anymore. He said he had nowhere to reach her. And because the other things Morgan told us, about taxis and aeroplanes, seemed to check out, we saw no reason to doubt him, and we dropped this. We didn't try further to reach the translator. That was a mistake.
Begin. Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Oh yeah, we're all back. Welcome back to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nichol, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeves, Skate Park Bully.
Skate Park Bully, have you got a nice tight brown t-shirt? Are you really gutted that you snapped?
No.
This week, the biggest change.
I can draw a mean seagull, bro.
Oh, yeah. I looked at some of that guy's paintings. What was his name?
Craig Platt.
Craig Platt. Yeah, his paintings, not particularly great. But, you know, I'm sure they sell to aunties.
You know, the weird thing is, after watching a bunch of the news coverage and interviews and stuff yesterday, I actually come out of it feeling slightly sorry for him. For him, not for the other guy. Like, he was the one who acted violently, and it was ridiculous, but I actually feel slightly sorry for him in terms of, you know, what the potential ramifications of it are for him. Yet the other guy,
who is mental,
Murdoch,
yeah,
he's just out of his fucking tree.
He really is. No, he's a convicted drug smuggler or something. Did he import, or is he a drug dealer, drug addict?
He's been all of those things.
Yeah, he was described on the forums. I don't know if he's been a crack user, but he was described as a crackhead. You know, judging by his behavior, and that there's a 10 minute long kind of very rough edit of a TV3 interview in the skate park, and
it's uncut camera footage. It's fantastic.
It is fantastic. I don't have it handy. It's too long to play anyway. But the guy is mad as a meat axe. Every question or accusation, he will say, yes, you're absolutely right. But, you know, this other thing, unrelated, this other thing, that. Yeah, you're right, but this other thing.
Did you read his statement on nzskate.com?
No, I didn't.
You need to put aside some time to do it. It must be probably 10 or 12 paragraphs, if you can call them paragraphs,
yeah,
of just ramblingness.
Yeah.
It's got all the hallmarks of classic sort of internet conspiracy theory paranoia. It's something special.
The whole story is so weirdly inconsistent that I don't really know what to believe anymore. For a long time, and I still suspect this, but for a long time, I believed that they'd handed out spray cans to the competitors. And I don't believe his claim that it was, you know, just random unrelated people, because why would random unrelated people spray paint the sponsors' names?
And not just that, they also spray painted the course markings.
It doesn't make any sense to me that anyone would do that. I'm not quite sure why the TV3 interviewer correspondent let him off so easily. There seemed to be some really obvious questions that she needed to ask, and they just weren't asked.
I think maybe that interview was done earlier in the day before some more of the information came out.
Yeah,
but it all happened quite quickly.
That's
like,
true.
Sort of. When the video was posted, maybe 9 a.m. on Monday to, you know, to 6 p.m. that night when it was on the news, it spiraled quite dramatically. I mean, it had 200,000 views in less than 24 hours, which is astonishing for a New Zealand video.
Yeah.
On Vimeo, not even on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's just insane. But I think a lot of that info, like it took, you know, it probably took 3 or 4, maybe 4 or 5 hours before it was even clear that it wasn't Doc Murdoch. I mean, I was clear on it, but a lot of people weren't, that it wasn't Doc Murdoch that was the guy shoving the skater. It was some other dude.
I think if you read the forums, whatever they were, Mashy or whatever the hell they were.
Muckmouth.
Then I think you got, you know, a pretty complete overview pretty early on. Someone retweeted it, and I guess I read it. You know, I read it after you had retweeted it, but before I saw your retweet. Fascinating story. I think it's going to die now because I think it's done with. But
what a bunch of dicks. It's interesting. I mean, you presumably.
Dylan. Chill out. You're scaring the kids by trying to stop us from beating them up.
Yeah. And
chill out, man.
I'm in the pocket of the Australians.
Yeah, what was that about? Repeated accusations that it's Australians trying to keep the man down.
I think he's talking about Amazon and DC.
Yeah. DC's not Australian, is it? Aren't they American? They were started by that rally driver guy.
We run from Australia. But, yeah, I think it's... Yeah, it's just. Hopefully, no one will ever give him money to do anything again.
Do they need to give him money? Does he make money the old-fashioned way by trading goods for cash?
Yeah, who knows?
Anyway, that is a story which we can go on to talk about a little bit more. Let's get this show started. We're getting back to the slightly more structured version of the show. We are now 5 minutes and 30 seconds into the real show after the little retraction at the beginning. Changed things quite a lot this week in terms of the production. We discussed it, and we've decided amongst ourselves that video added nothing to the show and just made it a whole lot more of a pain in the ass to make. Dylan felt self-conscious the whole time, hence pixelating himself. And also the audio quality was appalling, and there didn't seem to be a reason, you know, a good way with the other requirements that we have for the other equipment that we use to get the levels quite right. So it sounded shit. It was a pain in the ass to do it. No one even bothered looking at the videos after it was put up. So what was the point? So we've gone back to Mixlr.
Yeah, we like the idea, but it didn't really. Yeah, maybe one day.
I think we save the video stuff for special events. Because it's a pain in the ass and no one gives a shit. It's just us talking into microphones. You don't need to see that. Imagine a microphone and then imagine a person talking into it. That is the whole thing.
Yeah, and we're both slightly distracted, so that helps too.
That helps a great deal. Looking at, I've got three browser windows open. I've got Skype open. I've got VLC playing the audio thing. I've got Mixlr, which I've got a monitor. And then I've got this thing over here. It's the small bell of disapproval. It's back, it's back, it's back. I'm so excited. That's the best song I've ever come up with. we're just two up again. I know that we've spoken to some people about coming on the show, a couple of guests, but you know, no one's ready yet. I don't give a shit, frankly. There's lots of stuff to talk about.
I thought we could give away a ticket to Ben's Code Mania event.
A ticket for someone to operate a camera.
No. I've got that sorted. No, a ticket for someone to come to the event, and I emailed him about it, and he said no, it's actually completely sold out, and there's a waiting list, so we can't just slip someone in the side. Otherwise, I had this great idea. You know, we'd do the live show, and we'd say, and here's where you get the information about the ticket draw, and there'd be nothing, and then we'd put that in, and then you'd have to listen on Thursday, and the first person to do so. It was a good idea. It's not going to happen.
All right. Hey, maybe we should throw Ben into the mix and ask him how well that's going, completely unexpectedly. Let's just see what happens.
Is he there? What happens?
I don't know. He just went green. Who knows? So, the audio last week, I'll talk about it a little bit later on in corrections. I'll talk about it. And there's some comments in the toot bag as well about it. Ben!
Hello.
We are talking about the success of Code Mania and how Dylan wanted to give away a ticket and how it's completely sold out and waitlisted. And congratulations, you've done really well.
Thank you. Yes. I'd feel like a complete cockbag if I gave away a ticket when we have seven people waiting to give us good money to buy tickets.
Well, so, what if we gave it away to one of them?
Yeah.
Then they would have nowhere to sit.
Fire
hazard.
Maybe we find someone in a wheelchair and we give it away to that person.
Do you remember in school when you took bus trips to places, they made you sit, like, they'd have two seats and they'd make three kids sit across the two seats?
Yeah,
could we look at improving the capacity that way?
You know what takes up less room than big fat coder boys? I'll tell you what, little tiny skinny little girls. So, how many little skinny? Not fat women. That's what I mean. how many of them could you fit?
You could have made this much more efficient. You could have had, like, when people sign up for tickets, you could have required a width.
Oh, I am.
Yeah, width information, so you could better.
Yeah, trick people. If anyone asks for an XL or larger T-shirt, they're just not allowed.
Yeah, the surcharge.
Do you have any X, 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 XL T-shirts?
No.
You're banned from Auckland.
Congratulations, so you get two T-shirts because you've just bought two seats.
Apologies for not giving you a ticket to give away. We should have thought in advance. But
don't think a lot in advance about this show, to be honest.
A larger room next time, I think we need.
I don't know if that's true. I think that having a sold-out show, it gives it a certain amount of cachet. I mean, there's people who really want to get in who are going to be first in the queue, presumably, next time. I mean, assuming you actually deliver and people are like, oh, my God, this conference was so good, you would not believe the hand jobs we got.
And that is the plan. Actually,
suddenly thought about something. I'm just going on Trade Me now. I'm just going to see if anyone's scalping your tickets.
I doubt it.
No.
I don't think it's mainstream enough for that.
Oh. Here's one. Do you have an attendee called P. Goff? Wait, was it Phil Goff who did that?
No.
Who was it?
It was Bicycle Boy.
Mallard.
Yeah.
Mallard. Was it? Oh, okay. Yeah. T. Mallard. Whatever. It's all of them. They're all the same.
Bad joke.
I can't tell the difference between any of them. Except Brownlee.
Yeah.
Gasping.
He's the one with the Nokia.
He's finished, yeah. The Nokia.
That guy. Anyway, so when's your conference? It's this week. It's a couple of days from now.
It is, about...
If you're listening to the show on the day that we release it, it's tomorrow.
Unbelievable. Speaking of which, I really should go.
Is it on Friday?
Carry on working, yeah.
All right, so listeners, Ben's just announced that there is free access to Discourse listeners. Just turn up on Friday morning. Turn up about 8 a.m. They've got T-shirts. They've got pies. It's going to be great.
I'm looking at a gigantic
discourse.
I'm looking at a gigantic to-do list right now.
Go and do some work, Ben.
It's scaring me. It's like I'm trying to describe it. It's like a train wreck, but when the trains wreck, they become an awesome train. You know, they're all coming together at a high rate of knots.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Discourse.
They'll smash together and combine into some sort of giant transformer.
Voltron.
Exactly.
All right, go and do some work, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks when you've recovered.
See ya.
That was nice. Just grabbing him on. Let's see who else we can just grab on. Or we could just grab Jordan Carter on. That'd be actually fucking epically awesome. Or we could grab David Farrar on. Did you know he's really, really, really heterosexual? He just wants to reassure everyone of his heterosexuality very often. We can come back to that in the news in a little bit. So heterosexual. Well, you will. Because, I mean, oh, the guy. Unbelievable. Do I seem a little bit sugared up?
A smidge. A wee bit.
Did you? I realized this evening that I've never made a joke about dick sauce.
Good.
Well, I think it seems to go really well with discourse. Discourse, dick sauce. All right, fine.
You think right.
Have you heard of Pack and Save Meat Week?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I like the sound of it.
Yeah, I quite like the sound of it as well. Well, we can talk about that as well if we want. Let's run through the stories and we can let the chat room vote and we'll ignore what they say because we'll just pick them at random. So there's this Jerry Brownlee stuff with Finland. What a knob that guy is. He is such an idiot. But we'll talk about that in a little while. And then David Farrar in a very related story reveals once again that he's heterosexual for very young teenagers. I mean, not illegally young, presumably, but very young. Anyway, you're much younger than you would think was probably creepy, but no younger than that. but there was a bright side in a commenter on KiwiBlog, and we can talk about that. There's the thing about Facebook passwords and employers wanting to invade your privacy and your friends' privacy.
Yeah,
that's a thing. It's something that came up last year, and I'm a bit surprised that it's got so much traction this time around, and last time it sort of fizzled out. We can also talk about the new search and surveillance bill that our beloved government has just passed. We've got 10 reasons to hate it, thanks to Martin Bradbury, bomber.
All right.
And here's a story we probably won't talk about much, but which kind of gets right in my tits, and that is TVNZ have announced that their first half profit has tripled, which means they're going to probably lift the government dividend and all that instead of funding TVNZ7, which they could definitely afford to do out of probably about half of the year's profit.
Sure. I'll defend them.
Will you?
Because they can't. TVNZ can't make that decision.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
I know they have to pay a dividend.
Yeah.
I know they have to pay a dividend.
They are very clearly instructed that they have to return a dividend. They cannot choose to.
Well, I'm not saying don't return a dividend. I'm saying maybe spend a little bit more of your money on providing a public broadcasting service, which I think is, you know, the important part of the job.
Absolutely, I definitely agree with that. But unfortunately, I'm sure that no matter how much TVNZ CEO, whoever the hell that is now. And
they don't really have one. They've got a temporary guy, right?
Rodney, someone or other. Yeah. As much as they might want to, they couldn't without. I guess the broadcasting minister would have to approve it because he's the representative of the shareholder, which is us.
Well, best of luck with that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not happening. That's clearly not happening.
Jonathan Coleman's not a big TVNZ7 fan.
Mm. Oh.
What have I got? I've got the Android phone beats Windows phone but doesn't story.
No. No, of course it didn't.
No.
Of course it didn't. How could it?
It couldn't. I've also got, what are we talking about, the teapot tapes. The police finally came up with a decision on that.
Yeah.
And a little bit more Mega Upload stuff.
I cannot believe how much data there was at Mega Upload. Or how much it's...
25 petabytes, wasn't it?
Right, and the cost per day...
$9,000 a day.
It's incredible. $9,000 a day. But they were printing money with it. Printing money. Just with the odd little ad. You know, the occasional little ad.
They probably were too.
Printing money.
Yeah, probably.
And then cleaning it very carefully. Hey, Dylan, before we get into the news, do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer even though you're not currently in America or the UK?
That would be wonderful.
Do you have some reason for wanting people who try to look at your internet connection to see not that you're in New Zealand, but instead that you're on some anonymous IP address in Canada, Sweden, France, England, America, or Russia?
Yes, I do have those things.
Do you just generally want to have your anonymity protected on the internet, maybe because your government has recently passed some kind of law or whatever?
Yep.
Yeah, me too. So, news. Discourse .co.nz/VPN. Come on, you know about it already. We give the proceeds, of which there are very few, to charity, sort of. My shoe fund. No, we buy water filtration things and so on. We fund little entrepreneurial spirit in Guatemala and so on. Okay, let's get on to the news, shall we? Hey, have I got a button that I can push? It's not Fast Fives, though. We need a new thing.
We need one that just says newsy things.
Yeah.
Fast Five.
It doesn't fit. It's not right.
It's not.
Correction.
It's not fast.
It's not
five.
It's not fast, and it's not five. It's definitely not five this week. Anyway, that Pack and Save Meat Week thing. There's a Pack and Save ad for Meat Week, which they've dropped after vegetarians found it offensive. The ad warns vegetarians to look away while meat travels along a conveyor, then tells them it's safe to look back because it's just a carrot, but really it's a sausage. Oh, you kidders. The video has been pulled from Pack and Save's Facebook page, where it's been coolly received with comments that it's bad taste and offensive. On the Facebook page, Pack and Save says it's reviewing the advertisement, and while the process occurs, it'll be pulled out of advertising rotation. It wasn't only on Facebook, it was on TV.
I'm going to suspect that it'll take them longer than Meat Week to review that advertisement, unfortunately.
Yeah, quite right. Now, here's the thing. I'm not currently a vegetarian. I have been a very, very strict and quite militant vegetarian in the past. I was never offended by other people eating meat or ads for meat. What I was offended by was people telling me how I felt about things. So this ad instructing vegetarians that they were going to be upset by something, that is the part that I mean, I can't speak for other vegetarians, obviously. It would be hypocritical for me to try, given what I'm saying. The part that fucks me off is saying vegetarians look away. That it's some kind of trick to make a vegetarian look at a... I haven't seen the ad, but presumably given Pack and Save, it was a cartoon, it was a stick figure sausage. It is ridiculous.
Like a stick figure carrot.
Right, it's ridiculous, and it's not... I just don't think it's funny, and it's offensive just to try and trick people as if that's a joke, and to looking at a sausage. I just don't understand how that even works. It's stupid. People apologising. Like, so you'll get on Twitter every now and then, someone will be like, sorry, vegetarians, I just had the biggest steak for dinner. And it's like, I don't give a shit. I couldn't care fucking less. Don't apologise to vegetarians. Apologise to the fucking cow.
Oh, I can't find any outrage in this, unfortunately. I hear what you're saying. Melanie says she's offended by the stick figures. She thinks they're mocking her. She's right. They are.
Easy. Easy, Tiger.
They're offending her belief system.
Which is?
That people aren't stick figures, I suspect.
That everything should be higher resolution?
Everything should be three-dimensional, and people don't have holes in their heads. I'm just guessing.
I'm just going to push a button.
Five.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. That button doesn't mean anything.
It's just a number.
Imagine, this is an article on the Herald editorial from Susan Edmonds. Imagine a waterfront that lives up to the City of Sails. What I think she means to say is imagine a waterfront that lives up to the name, the City of Sails. I think that's what she really means. And the idea behind her very long, not very interesting editorial piece here is that replacing our enormous and troubled port with parks and cafes would be pretty fucking great, and that there are a bunch of people who would rather like that. But also, on the other hand, there's an economic argument that says, actually, you know, it pays millions of dollars into the council coffers every year, and it's a bit of a difficult thing to get rid of because we really rely on it to keep rates down and to pay for services.
It would be good, but, the port's great, but could the port is great in terms of what it does for us,
yep.
But is there anywhere else we could relocate it? I can't think of anywhere.
Yes.
Or I suppose you could further develop the Onehunga ports or something.
No. Most recent proposal was to put it at Whangarei, which is ready to expand. They've already got land to do it. Another proposal is to move it to the Firth of Thames. And still another one is to just move all that stuff down to Tauranga.
Right. I mean, I'm in favour of all that. We've talked about Wynyard Quarter before.
Yeah.
Because you've been down there, eh?
Oh, I was down there the opening day. And how exciting it is, and how it makes it clear that we should have more, how exciting it is to have access to our goddamn waterfront in the city.
But you know it's going away, right?
Yeah, I do know that. I do know that, yeah.
But if that were expanded to cover, you know, all along the waterfront, that'd be lovely. It'd be great. You know, we could still have, you know, Princess Wharf with a big hotel on it and the ferry terminals and all that.
Ugly big hotel.
Yeah, it's fine. Looks like it just looks like another ship. There's some ships docked there.
I guess. Except the big cruise ships, I can watch them from the balcony here at the penthouse. I watch them go out, and it's great watching them go out. But that thing, that never goes out. It just stays there, looking looking boring all the time.
Doesn't really move much. No, I'd love to see that. I don't think it'll happen.
So the proposal, of course, was that our port was going to expand From 77 hectares to 95 hectares. The area for expansion, according to this article, is 50% bigger than the Auckland Domain.
Right.
That's not a small park.
No.
That is a big bit of land. I don't think it was very hard to visualize how much of our harbour. I mean, the harbour is quite big as well, but it's very hard to visualize how much space that was going to take.
Well, there's a concept as well. I mean, they talk about this. Another thing they talk about, which is what do they call it? An inland port?
Yeah, get it on rail, move it.
Yeah, they offload the containers and they shift them.
Yeah,
they don't like the containers don't need to sit there.
Yeah. No, that's right. And I think that would be much better. We've got, I mean, there's a whole area down there. Those huge stacks of containers that are kind of iconic of our port, those are empty. People are paying to store empty containers on our waterfront. Literally empty all the time.
Sure they're not full of cheese?
7 days a week, empty. No, there's a whole large area which is assigned specifically to empties. And there is a fucking, well, there's not a million of them there, but there's a fucking whole bunch of them there. And they're empty. And they are getting in the way of us getting to our waterfront.
I'd like you to count them for next week's show and tell us how many there are.
It'd be very difficult because, of course, I can see, you know, this. I can see how high the stack is on the near side, but, you know, estimating how many there are behind that massive wall preventing us from getting to our harbour.
Figure out how many containers there are.
I'm not going to.
Empty ones.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
All right, or not. So we like access to the water. We don't like empty containers.
That's right. I don't really like having a port at all, but I understand that, you know, there's a certain economic argument for keeping it there.
I like receiving things by water.
I like receiving things by plane, but some things are too large to receive by plane.
Most of the things I buy that are not from the internet directly are probably received by water.
Yeah. It's very nice, actually, far side from the city of the port, there's actually a walkway and you can get right out to the point, but it's only wide enough for, you know, a couple of people walking abreast or a couple of bicycles. It's not large, but it's possible to get out there, but it's a useless sort of a breakwater. So you can see how lovely it would be going out there. It'd be beautiful. There's occasionally people fishing out there, but it should be a big park. And frankly, I think there should be a big fucking stadium down there, although not situated in such a way that it blocks visibility and access, but somehow a fucking stadium in there, I don't know how, with a train going through the stadium.
Underground.
I actually suggested that to Selena as a really great idea, and I think it's brilliant. I think it'd be great.
It'd be good
until it filled up with water.
Well, no, until it was like slightly, you know, neglected and stopped rising.
Yeah.
Someone didn't oil something and it just...
Oh, no. I didn't think that it would actually be lifted up out of the ground. I thought that it would just be an excavation into the ground, and so it wouldn't actually be at road level.
Hydraulics lifting the entire thing.
No, I don't like... No, that wasn't my proposal. Your idea is insane. Oh. Your idea is completely insane.
It'd go nicely with the tunnel to Sydney.
It'd be... Oh, God, that'd be brilliant. No, it should be a bridge, actually, to
bridge,
Sydney.
Right.
Yeah, a tunnel to Albany, though, at least, and then you can get on the bridge. So there's like fishing trawlers and stuff down there as well that, you know, well, not at the port, further along the other side of the city. But, I mean, it seems so weird to have that stuff there. I mean, ultimately, and something that this article talks about, is, you know, basically sharing the space. And they use the example that San Francisco seems to manage to share their waterfront. But at the moment, we're not sharing. At the moment, we are completely pushed out. Right. Yep. And you have to leave the city to get to the shore. Now, of course, that doesn't, you know, you don't have to go a long way, but it's a very different kind of experience if you go to, say, Mission Bay. It's not, I think, what people are envisaging for the, you know, a central kind of waterfront area with parks and cafes and so on. I don't think that what they're imagining there is beaches. Because, I mean, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. No, just a continuation of what Wynyard Quarter is attempting to be would be fine.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's a pleasant space to spend time.
Anyway, so that's that. Do you want to do one of your stories?
Oh, God, did I have one? Hang on.
You have four.
Oh, yes. All right, we'll start with the Windows phone.
Windows phone. God, it's so fast. I've never seen a phone that was faster at doing things like starting up and showing the weather in two cities at once.
Yep, so... the Windows Phone Challenge, apparently.
Wow, that sounds exciting. Is that like the Pepsi Cola challenge where you get two people to guess which kind of phone it is they're using?
No. For those not familiar, anyone who completes a task faster than a Windows phone with their own smartphone can win a $1,000 special edition laptop, assuming they meet standard terms and conditions.
But, oh, Dylan, it can't be done.
No, of course not. So the gist of this, there's an article, which will be in the show notes, allegedly, that a chap went down with a Samsung Galaxy Nexus.
You're right, he went down. He went down hard because he was slow.
That's right. Running Android 4.0 ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
Went down, a stupid name. I hate all this naming things. It makes it really hard to figure out what's what.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ice cream tuna fish.
I understand how numbers work in sequence to one another. I don't understand the relationship between an ice cream sandwich and a gingerbread, or between a...
And a calamansi.
And a tiger.
And a cougar.
Yes. Cougar. When's that coming out? Oh, they've just done that, haven't they? That's mountain lion.
Cougar pie.
Anyway, a mountain lion is a cougar.
Yeah.
So, guy went down there. The Microsoft Store employee explained that he would have to... So basically, they turn your phone off and then turn it on so you don't have any apps pre-launched, I guess. And from a sleep state, you have to do something faster than the Microsoft representative can do with their Microsoft Windows phone.
Yeah.
And, of course, they define the challenge, so obviously they can prepare themselves for it.
Yeah.
The challenge he was presented was bring up the weather of two different cities. Now, he felt like he'd won at that point because on his desktop, he happened to have two weather widgets already, one for his current location and another for Berkeley. So he was in San Jose in California, and he had another one for Berkeley, California.
Right.
So they got a 3-second countdown. He hit the power button on his phone and said done, because in Android 4 ice cream sandwich, you can actually disable the lock screen entirely. So you hit the button and the screen just comes on.
Yep.
There's no swipe to unlock or pin code or any of that. You can turn that off completely.
Yeah.
Anyway, he did that, thought he'd won, and was told consequently he didn't win.
What? But he won. Did he come first?
No.
He came first, so he won.
Now, his opponent had finished just later. She had two live tiles on her home screen displaying the weather for two different cities.
Yeah.
And it took her longer because she had to hit the power button and then she had to swipe away the lock screen.
Right.
Basically, one step more than he had to do.
Right.
And the swiping would have been the difference. So he was told that it didn't count because...
just because.
He didn't win just because.
Yeah.
And when he continued, possibly a manager came over and said that, in fact, he needed to display the weather for two different cities in different states.
Right.
And told him that his phone couldn't do that.
Well, that seems to be different from what he was originally told, doesn't it?
And also, it's completely ridiculous. Of course his phone can do that.
Obviously. That's bullshit. Fuck those guys.
It is bullshit.
Fuck you, Microsoft.
That's the thing. If you're a company and you think it's a clever idea to have a competition like that, you need to accept that sometimes you might not win.
Yeah.
If you're going to put your thing up there like that, you know, you have to accept that it's not always going to be 100% going your way.
Yeah.
So it's just stupid.
I've got to say, my girlfriend has a Nokia whatever 800. And yep. It's really lovely. I've never really entirely come to grips with Windows Phone 7. I think it suits me even less than iOS. I think there's something wired up in my brain that makes me an Android-y person. Shut up. Don't be humanist. But the device itself is really lovely. There was an article that I haven't added to the list, though, about a former Nokia person who was saying that the Windows Phone 7 strategy is doomed to failure. But they might have an axe to grind, you know, former employee and so on. You never know.
On what grounds did they say it was doomed?
Oh, who knows? I haven't added the story to the list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I can't give you details now. Maybe we can. If anyone is even vaguely interested in fucking phones, then maybe we can talk about it next week. But I don't think there'll be much demand for it, frankly.
Well, it's all just opinion, isn't it? I mean, a lot of people say things like that, just, you know, because Windows Phone doesn't have the market penetration, but that could always change.
I think it will change. I think that Nokia is going to make a huge difference to their penetration.
Yes. It's quite hard to compete against two now very established, you know, competitors.
Yeah.
But they'll get there. Nokia will help. And if other, you know, if other high-profile manufacturers start to push more Windows Phone phones out there.
This is a tech podcast.
Yeah, sorry. Should I do another one? I've got another one. Hang on, let me check.
Oh, you haven't got many. Let me get rid of one.
What are you doing?
Employers asking for Facebook. God. Passwords. Facebook considering new laws and legal action against employers asking for users' passwords. This is a story on TechCrunch, but this has been all over the place. Following up on disturbing reports that some employers are asking applicants to turn over their Facebook usernames and passwords, Facebook's chief privacy officer on policy, Aaron Egan hints that the company is looking into drafting... This is very serious, Dylan. Stop laughing.
I know.
Drafting new laws to protect users from violations of their privacy. And quite right, it's madness. But it's also, I mean, I cannot imagine asking someone for the username and password to log into their shit and go through their stuff. If you don't trust someone, don't employ them.
Some companies said, oh, now look, you know, we wouldn't ask for a username and password. We just ask them to go over there and log in.
No way.
And then let's look. No, of course not.
Now, something that you maybe could ask for is, hey, friend me.
Yeah, friend me, so I can see what ridiculousness you post about your job.
And even that may be going too far, frankly. Because do you say, is it ever a condition of employment, you know, hey, can I come to dinner at your place and you can bring all your friends over and I can just check that they like you and that they're not druggies and that you're not an alcoholic, that you're not...
Or, hey, can I come around to your house and have a look through your house and make sure
look through your photo albums.
Or porn that I don't approve of.
I want to check through all the mail you've received. It's a bizarre story.
I'd have porn I don't approve of.
Anyway, there are a couple of senators. Have I got that list in here as well? Anyway, it's got the attention of the ACLU. And I remember a story very, very much like this coming up at least a year or two ago. It completely fizzled out back then. Hopefully this time something will happen. I think that this is a bizarre move for employers to try to do this.
Funny thing happened to me that today. I saw a story online. I tried to comment on it. You know, I had that thing with Facebook comments, other comments. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know how you do it because I've never wanted to look into it, but I know some web pages, you know, the comments are basically attached to Facebook somehow.
Yeah.
And I posted a comment, and what I didn't... So I put my name down, but then it also put the thing that comes after my name, which is my employer and job description.
Far out.
Which of the presumably is whatever. I don't know why Facebook chooses that. I suppose if I joined a network, it would put that, or maybe there's something I can do to change it.
Yeah.
But I immediately deleted the comment because I wasn't comfortable with, you know, I'm happy to say it with my real name.
It makes it look like you're speaking for your employer by having their name right on there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do about that. So that frustrated me because I was like, oh, well, I wanted to write this comment, but I don't want to, you know, make it appear that I'm speaking for my employer, which I'm absolutely not.
I've got something to say to whoever designed that. That's disapproving. That's right. Sheep. It's a long time since we had a disapproving sheep out, and I'm very pleased to have him back. Sorry, I walked away from the microphone to breathe. How did we ever get by without him? So from the terms and conditions on Facebook, you will not share your password, or in the case of developers, your secret key, let alone anyone else's. I'm not reading correctly. You'll not share your password, let anyone else access your account, or do anything else that might jeopardize the security of your account. Quite right.
So every time I log in, every time someone walks away from the computer and I sit down and post some embarrassing status on their behalf, they are breaking the terms of Facebook.
Apparently. Anyway, there are a couple of Democratic congressmen. Unfortunately, they aren't named in this article, and I don't have a handy one with them in it, who are looking into this. I don't know that a law can be set. I don't know if that's appropriate. Maybe it is. I don't know how you'd word that exactly. You can't give people a password. That doesn't seem right. I mean,
well,
I think...
It would be...
You can't ask for a password as in part of employment?
Yeah, you can't make... You can't make access to private, you know, social networks a requirement of employment or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like in the same way that you couldn't, I presume it would be outright. I don't know. It would be in New Zealand. I don't know about the states because it's a bit insane. But it would be illegal to demand that someone, you know, let you see all of their mail.
See all of their asshole.
Yeah, all of those things. Before you get employed. I would, when I read that, I was just like, why wouldn't you just say fuck you and walk away? And then I realised...
Because you want a job.
Yeah, there
are people out there who've been unemployed for years, desperate to work. Not loafers, not layabouts, not lazy. Just can't find a job.
Yeah, it's tough. I realise I'm a little bit lucky in that respect. I've never had that problem.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. Do you want to do a story now?
Yeah, sure. Remind me, which one? Pick one.
Police decision on teapot tape investigation.
Okay, so that situation round up. Remember back before the election, if you can remember back that far.
Yeah. I remember back then, there was such a sweet time. The police apparently had nothing to do with their time, and they were just desperate to, you know, to fill their days up with something.
Yep, and luckily enough, a young cameraman allegedly accidentally left his microphone on a table in a cafe whilst some politicians just happened to have a private discussion with the invited media nearby. Anyway, the police investigated, and it took them a while. They've been spending, 6 months on it now? They've been investigating this one incident.
That seems like quite a lot of time. Must have been very complicated.
They have resolved a complaint, according to their press release. Police have resolved the complaint of the Prime Minister, Right Honourable John Key, concerning the recording of his conversation with the Honourable John Banks by a cameraman, Mr. Bradley Ambrose. Police will not be prosecuting Mr. Ambrose. He will be issued with a warning. Now, it says, this is the bit that bothers me about this. So basically, the backstory seems to be that his lawyers and the Prime Minister's lawyers and the police lawyers talked, and they somehow agreed. I'm not sure who suggested it or what the, you know, what various dealings have gone on, but they agreed that if Bradley Ambrose wrote a letter of apology, which unfortunately I think he should have had grammar checked before he sent it in, but anyway, if he wrote a letter of apology, that the whole thing would kind of go away.
Yeah.
And that seems to be what's happened. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that either. I don't think that's appropriate. If maybe, I don't know, if I stabbed someone, could my lawyer and their lawyer and the police talk about it and decide that my writing a letter of apology would be okay? I don't know.
I think if all parties agree, then yes.
Maybe. Well, police have issued a warning in this instance. We are clear that the actions of Mr. Ambrose were unlawful.
But they don't get to decide that. Doesn't a court get to decide that?
Well, no, not in this case, unfortunately.
But that's not right. Police don't decide that. They decide who they charge, and the courts decide who's guilty and who's not.
Yeah, that's the part that I find really... Because there was plenty of arguments in favour of the fact that it was lawful. Even if he'd done it deliberately, that the nature of the conversation meant that it wasn't, for the purposes of the law, private. That statement I find very disconcerting. Unfortunately, we'll never know now, because it's not going to go to court. Ambrose isn't going to try and take another... You know, isn't going to try and seek another... judgment on it. I don't even know if he could now.
No.
The police aren't going to prosecute, so it'll never be settled.
Never be decided.
You'll never know if you're a politician and you invite some people to a press conference and then, you know, accidentally get recorded by a microphone, like what happened to Barack Obama just in the last little while, talking to a Russian ambassador or something.
Mm.
Whether that's legal.
Mm.
And plenty of people seem to believe it was.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out, because it'll happen again. There's no way it's not going to happen again.
But not in those sort of circumstances. I'd find, you know, the other ones will, you know, well, they'll be in less contrived circumstances or something. I don't know. It's disappointing because I think even after all this, you know, Bradley Ambrose's name's been fairly besmirched.
Yeah.
Quite unfairly, I think. I've seen, also interestingly enough, the Herald released raw footage. Now, I haven't watched it all, but from what I did see, it actually supported his story very much, that, you know, you could see, it was all his footage, and you could see sort of what went down, and that he was, you know, sort of at one end of the calf when suddenly the two Johns started answering questions, and he sort of, you could see, rushed over to the area and couldn't get a good spot to film and tossed a microphone on the table, basically.
Wow.
All of which supports exactly what he said. But I haven't watched it all yet. My internet connection was not good when I tried.
Next story! You should be with Orcon. I'm always happy with Orcon.
I am, but at the time I was not on my Orcon connection.
Right. Next story. This is from Tumeke. New Zealand, now one nation under CCTV. 10 reasons to hate the new search and surveillance bill. Now, I can't read this really in the style of Bomber.
Please don't.
I'd hurt my voice probably. But let's start. It starts off wonderfully. You stupid cop-worshipping authority sluts. Brothers and sisters, we're a nation of sleepy hobbits easily manipulated into Shire Volk, into handing over, it's not really particularly well written necessarily, with the passing of the draconian search and surveillance bill last week, a little part of progressive New Zealand died as the police managed to get a wet dream wish list of spying powers through without any real safeguards whatsoever. Effectively, we've just handed the Eye of Mordor over to the state.
Yeah, I'm not really into all these Lord of the Ring references. It's a little bit cliche, but all right.
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of them either. So paragraph. The irony here is that New Zealanders are the first to rear up on their hind legs and bleat nanny state when a government attempts to remove the legal loophole that allows abusive parents to get away with bashing their kids, yet not a whimper from them when the state allows 70 agencies the ability to break into our homes and spy on us with all of the authority of a fucking justice of the peace. Justice of the Peace gets to decide, is that right? Surely not.
I don't know, I've met some Justices of the Peace, they seem like nice guys, but...
Should they get to decide this? Should they get to decide that someone from the pork board should be able to go into your house?
No,
it doesn't seem right, does it? Here's the 10 reasons. Tell me as soon as it gets boring. God, 10 seems like a lot. 1, these spying powers are not just for the police. They can be extended to 70 other government agencies. Why the hell should the pork board be allowed to break into your home and plant spy cameras? Why should they? I don't see a reason.
No.
Number 2, the so-called safeguards for the other government agencies is that to use these powers will require the signature of the minister, seeing as John Key signed off on the new BMWs 4 separate times and claimed he still had no idea what he had agreed to. A minister's signature as a safeguard is as flimsy as an umbrella is at protecting you from tsunamis. I don't know, a signature from the minister, that actually is pretty serious.
Yeah, I mean, it does have to, you know, you can't. Oh, no. It does seem harder to get than a signature from a judge, for example. There's only one minister.
Judges actually know the law, though, and judges don't tend to operate in their own self-interest. They do tend to be quite thoughtful judges, generally speaking. I don't think we're going to get through all 10, but let's do a couple more. Number 3, the only submission received in support of these dizzying new powers was from the police. Every other submission was against it. How can we formulate public policy as sensitive as the power to spy on one another when the only support is from the ones gaining these new powers? Seems pretty reasonable. Number 4, New Zealanders have lost their right to silence. The police can force you to answer questions on mere suspicion of you committing a crime now. Well, good luck. Good luck to them. How are they going to force me? Best of luck. Not going to talk. I'll just direct them to my auntie because she's the only one that knows. She's the only one that knows.
What's your auntie been talking
anything
about
what's been going on?
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
New Zealanders now have to hand over any information to the police, not if they prove you're guilty of anything, but based on suspicion. And if you refuse to provide this information, you can be jailed for 12 months. Yeah, you won't though, because it'll be by a judge, and the judge will say, this is bullshit. Perhaps. If you're lucky, well, maybe. The police no longer have to get a search warrant based on evidence to spy on you. They only have to get a surveillance device warrant, which can be obtained by any officer of any of the 70 government agencies, who can now ask for it based on no evidence at all, just their suspicion that you might be involved in a crime. This surveillance device warrant can be obtained from a justice of the peace. That's not a judge. That's not a judge.
No. They do have to, they have, they're sworn to certain things and they have to undergo certain training, but no, it's not a judge.
I'm going to skip one without reading it. Number 8, the powers are sold as being used against organised crime, but the definition by the police of organised crime is 3 people who know each other. Good luck if you're too high, I guess. Best of luck.
Well, or anyone who's committing crime, no one commits crime on their own.
It does seem a bit unlikely, doesn't it? Organised crime, 3 people. Now, you need a better definition than that. That's no good. Number 9, even if the agency doesn't find what they're looking for as outlined in their suspicions, any evidence they do find can still be used. This means the spying is a pure fishing expedition. The suspicion used to obtain the spying warrant doesn't even need to match what they find.
Yeah.
I don't really like that particularly. I mean, if they find, you know, if they spot you murdering someone when they were only investigating you for, you know, whatever, car conversion or something, then yeah. I think that's probably appropriate that you go down for that. But if they discover that you're downloading, I don't even know what any of these kids listen to on their MP pods or whatever it is these days, Justin Bieber. If they discover you, right. If they discover you're downloading Justin Bieber, and what they were after was your drug importing, then I think they should not be admissible. Anyway, the whole thing is outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous, and it's just happened to us.
I agree,
but
with conditions.
What are those?
I don't know enough about it.
Are you aware that the police have been able to get a search warrant anyway?
Yes, but the problem is that I've read a lot of things in the past. People have been outraged about laws that have been passed, and this one probably very reasonably so, but very frequently the interpretation of the law and, you know, in terms of how they what they say is going to happen and what can and can't happen and who must do what and what the penalties are and who it would apply to is ridiculously wrong. So while I understand that, well, I think the whole idea of, you know, as I understand the search and surveillance bill is way over the top and unnecessary and offensive in many ways, I'm reluctant to simply believe outright what someone is interpreting from it for me without some, you know, much better information.
Well, I guess we need to have people like Rick Scherer interpret the stuff for us, but he's more interested in other things. I mean, there's, you know,
there was a food safety bill that was, I don't know if it's even been passed or debated, but there was a food safety bill that everyone was up in arms about a little while ago about, you know, it would have food safety officers carrying guns and the ability to, you know, things like that. That was, you know, there was like 15 things that were horrible about this bill, and that was included in it, and almost all of them were completely wrong.
Yeah.
And that didn't stop the fact that the bill may have been unnecessary or not good and, you know, poorly worded or badly constructed or the wrong approach to the problem. But the opposition to it was just simply misinformed or deliberately misinformed.
I think a bad law is a bad law, whether it is as bad as, you know, extremists say or not. I'm not sure that's important. I think we should do our very best to only have good laws. This doesn't seem to be a very good law. This doesn't seem to be balanced. You know, there's a public interest.
There's things that seem pretty wrong.
There are, you know, there are fundamental civil liberties.
Any sort of fishing expedition warrants, anything like that. I think that's really wrong. I think I find that, well, I still don't know much about it. I find the requirement for journalists potentially to, you know, divulge sources is wrong. So those are things that I'm vaguely aware of in the bill.
Divulge sources like your penchant for dick sorts.
Yes, like
fall back. All right.
Nice.
Nice. It's right. Nice.
What's next?
What's next is we've got 9 minutes to go in the show.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Story was awesome.
You
I had another story.
Well, we spoke about the skate park thing quite a bit at the beginning, so we can say that was one of yours.
Mega upload thing, not the skate park thing.
Mega upload. Mega upload.
So the hosting company, what is it, Carpathia?
Carpathia? Yeah.
Carpathia. I don't know how it's pronounced. Carpathia, who Mega Upload leased 1,103 servers from with 25 petabytes of data storage. That's a shitload of data.
God, is it ever.
They have made an application to the court hopefully to be heard on April the 13th to say, we need to know what's going to happen with this money situation, because essentially while Mega Upload is suspended and they don't have any money and they can't pay their bills, Carpathia is losing $9,000 a day. That was what Mega Upload was paying for these servers, which is pretty cheap.
Jeez, they must have charged a lot for their ads.
Yep. So they were basically that. So essentially this 25 petabytes of data is sitting there, and if the court doesn't agree to either release funds from Mega Upload to pay the bill, or that the FBI or whoever else should pay the bill, then that data will cease to exist. It will just be deleted or reallocated or whatever. Which I find really problematic for a couple of reasons. One is it's people's data that has been confiscated by the US government without much due course.
Without any warning. I mean, often when a service goes down, they'll say, you know, we are no longer accepting signups. You can't add new data to the system, but the servers are going to be up for 3 months. You better download your stuff. And here is the interface that we've provided to download your stuff. That is what happens often, depending on how people go out of business. If they're required. If
voluntarily closed down, they would presumably do something like that.
Yeah. No, but Oink was acquired. This is current. Oink was acquired by Google. Well, sort of. The staff really appears to have been acquired by Google. And so they provided a download service. And it's the same thing we've seen with other services as well.
Yeah. But the other problem I have with it is that 25 petabytes of data, so the FBI have already had access to it. They've gone through and presumably picked out whatever they wanted to pick out to support their case. The rest of it, it's just going to get deleted. But it could very potentially be evidence for the defense. You know, they could say, look, from this 25 petabytes of data, we believe that only, you know, 10% of it or whatever was infringing content.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is that they could, you know, come up with. But that bothers me greatly that would be deleted. And that there's nothing that anyone can do about it. So hopefully the court will, some people seem to believe that the court will basically come to that opinion as well, that it should be kept, if nothing else, for the fact that it, that, you know, it's potentially evidence, and also for the fact that deleting it will penalise non-participants in the alleged crime.
Alleged crime.
Alleged crime.
Yes, we've got to be careful throwing around words like it's obvious that they did a bunch of dodgy shit and do it. We've got to be really careful not to do that, because golly, we could get in so much trouble.
It's obvious that Mega Upload was doing dodgy things, but at the same time, they seemed to be honouring their requirements under the
DMCA,
which law,
I think, does provide them with protection.
Seems to.
So do we want to talk about what your aunt been talking about, or do you want to talk about Jerry Brownlee's ridiculous brain fart with the Finns?
Let's go there later. You can play some of that show from YouTube or whatever.
All right.
Although my auntie's been talking about nothing.
What's your auntie been talking about?
What's your auntie been talking about?
What's your auntie been sending you on VHS?
My auntie told me a new series of Mythbusters started the other day.
Is that right? She doesn't watch that kind of show. Hopefully I could convince her to record it and send it to me anyway. Mythbusters. So, have you seen the new episode of the new season?
No, I have not. She just let me know that it started.
Great, thanks for bringing that up. So, Breaking Dawn.
But, you know, it's a good show. You know what it is.
So, Breaking Dawn came up the other day. I went to put it on SpoilerMassacre.com, which is the fucking best site you've never visited. SpoilerMassacre.com! I went to put the trailer for this new movie, the sequel to a movie that I saw a couple of years ago that I was really into called Breaking Dawn. And I clicked on the thing and there was fucking Edward Cullen. And I was like, what is this shit? Oh, Breaking Dawn. Oh, right, from Twilight. For whatever reason, I read Breaking Dawn and heard Tomorrow When the War Began. And I was like, yay, the sequel for Tomorrow When the War Began. I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this for years.
Almost right.
Yeah, well, not even.
Dawn.
Sucked in me. Anyway, the sequel, which was greenlit and then re-redlit for Tomorrow When the War Began. This is China Invades Australia. I don't know if you watched it a year or two ago.
Sounds familiar. No, I didn't. But
it's based on a series of seven novels from, I guess, an Australian author.
Probably.
And they were going to make a TV series, and they were going to make several movies. And unfortunately, the first movie, I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think it cost $30 million to make, which is pretty cheap, relatively speaking.
It's very cheap.
But it made like seven.
See, you don't understand the movie. The only thing that is important for movie business is the return. So obviously there's a guaranteed return if we just make comic book movies and sequels and reboots.
Yeah. So, Avengers!
Sequels to successful movies, obviously. Yep. I found out about Mythbusters, the first episode of the 10th season.
Yeah.
It's called Duct Tape Island.
More duct tape. Oh, fuck off.
This is the synopsis. Abandoned on a Hawaiian. I think it should be an Hawaiian. Abandoned on a Hawaiian island, Jamie and Adam find themselves armed with nothing but the sticky silver adhesive. Can they use it to source water, find food, build shelter, and even escape? I'm going to suggest that yes, they can do all of those things. Because it's duct tape. They'll have like a literal container load of duct tape.
Yeah.
And they will do all of those things. They will build a raft with duct tape. They will trap things with duct tape.
Yeah, it sounds boring. Sounds boring and easy. Everything they've ever tested duct tape to do, it has always done it. So, I mean, done. Plausible, confirmed. That's it. So there's a new season of Survivor. It's on New Zealand television within days of its American airing. And it's terrible. They're terrible teams. They're so bad. But, you know, maybe that's fun. Maybe that's fun. Also, The Amazing Race. That's really fun. There's some great teams on The Amazing Race.
Which one? Is it a new one in the States? Because we've been watching the one on TV2 here, which is moderately entertaining, although still in 4x3.
Yeah. So, Tootbag, we've got to move on from the third. So.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
Because we've only got about 90 seconds to go. Tootbag! Gerard on Twitter, at G. McManus, blames Pete McManus for not telling me episode 3.01 of Discourse was out this week. Obviously, that's last week. Yeah, well, I'm really sorry, people. People don't seem to have noticed that we've started doing it again. It was that big break really fucked us up. Really fucked us up, so chronic.
1 minute.
We've got a toot from John Reed this one. Are you looking at the things?
Maybe. I don't know.
All right, Steve Gray from the telly, at Real Steve Gray on Twitter. He's speaking about the my yes. China trip. Oh, hope this does not turn into another This American Life debacle. Kiss. Well, you know, I guess it kind of did. Kind of did.
Yeah.
Are you ready to read the next one yet? Are you ready to read the next one?
I don't know what the next one is.
Do you know that we've got a document called the show notes? East of Eden at East Meets West.
Oh,
Discourse is live. Heading over now. Obviously, this is from last Tuesday. Heading over now. Well, I hope you enjoyed it, but the audio quality was not great. And Rochelle at RI Check Levels, your sound is clipping really badly. Yeah, that's why we changed our system this week to Mixlr. Thank you so much for listening. Tweet us, maybe Facebook us, whatever. Rate and review the show to iTunes. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You're listening to The Weekly Show on with course.
All right, we're using that one.
Tune in right now for the Extra Large Extended Edition, available on discourse.co.nz or in your iTunes if you're already subscribed to The Weekly Show.